Thank you, choir. Let's all stand together again, please. Our next hymn is hymn number 28. This is My Father's World. Hymn number 28.
Amen. Let's stand and sing together number 28. This is My Father's World, number 28.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, my resting in the dawn of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, birds and the wonders of. This is my Father's world, the birds and carols praise, the morning light, the lily white, where the vapors raise. This is my Father's world, who shines in all that's fair. In the rustic paths I hear him pass, who speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, all that be there for bread, that love of all seems all so strong, is the ruler there. This is my Father's world, the battle is not won, Jesus, who thy shining satisfied,
that you're here. Today is Bible Sunday, and tonight we'll have Pastor Al Stone from Bearing Precious Seed, and we've been working for about 6 weeks now to raise some funds to try to be a help and a blessing, and also to get the gospel message out in Canada, and right now they're targeting Ontario. We are so thankful that Bethel Baptist Church has already put a John of Romans in every home in Prince Edward Island. Also, our Sunday school children, just our Sunday school kids, did all the territory of Nunavut. And so we're thankful for that. They were able to raise enough money, about $2,200, to put a John and Romans in every home in the territory of Nunavut. So we're thankful for that. And then also we had a part in raising the funds of doing all of Saskatchewan. And so now we're working on Ontario. That's a bigger task. And so tonight Pastor Stone will be here. We're going to present him with a check. And so today's a very important day. How many of you young people brought your Bibles today? Raise your Bibles up in the air. Adults, you can do that too. You got your Bible today? Put it up in the air, amen. Let the devil know that we've got a Bible. Amen. All right, let's sing, kids. Let's sing the B-I-B-L-E. All right, let's sing it together. Let's show the adults how to sing this morning.
The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the word for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E.
God's holy word. All right, very good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Pastor Adolph's going to come and lead us. Amen. Just before we go to prayer here, I just want to, we got 10 birthdays this week, and I need to announce it. So I don't know what happened, but everybody seemed to be born on this week. Today we got Sarah Wiedrich, Joel Turnowski, Art Taves is celebrating their birthdays. Tomorrow we have Angela Ashby. Elliot Wood is celebrating his first birthday, so that's exciting. On Wednesday we have Hannah Haddadi. I'm suffering with a cold, folks, so don't shake my hands today, okay? Hannah Haddadi is having a birthday on Wednesday, and so is Joe Strachan. On Thursday is Connor Benaway's birthday. On Friday is Sam Wilson's birthday. And on Saturday is Sue Strachan's birthday. So congratulate them this week when you get a chance. And as far as anniversaries go, tomorrow, if my math serves me right, is Marvin and Dolores Wiedrich's 35th anniversary. So that's a milestone as well. So a lot of things to be thankful for. Brother Gerald Ronson, if you'd pray for the offering and the service.
Heavenly Father, we show in his name that John the Bible, Lord, what a blessing it is of this church to stand on that ministry. We ask you to be in the blessing of preaching here, doing the work as you grow into this community, doing others to the world. And we do thank you that we're able to be a happy
Amen. God bless you now as you give.
Boys and girls, I asked some of you guys earlier if you guys would start thinking. Oh, Ethan already knows. I was going to ask you, what do you guys enjoy about Master Club? How many of you guys come to our Master Club program on Thursday night? All right, a lot of us. All right, and I asked a couple of you guys, and some of you that I didn't catch, Delhi Bus just got in. I want you guys to think really quick, what is something that you enjoy about Master Club? Ethan, you ready?
Treats.
You like treats. All right, good. What class is he in? Who's got him? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They have treats. What do you like?
I like learning about Jesus, and I'm in class Pastor Fury's.
You're in Pastor Fury's class. That's right. The grade 4, 5, 6 boys, right? Marshall, what do you like?
Games, and I am in Mrs. Fett's class.
Yeah, he likes games. I'm the game director, so he likes my games. What do you like, bud?
I like reading the books of Bible.
Have you guys learned the books of the Bible yet? The Old Testament, New Testament? How many of you guys have learned books of the Bible at Master Club? I think that's one of the first things that you guys do. I'm going to ask one more boy on this side. Christopher, are you ready? Or we'll do two, okay?
The playing games and treats.
Yeah? And Christopher, come on down to the end here. What do you like?
The games, too.
Yeah? Do I do your game? Yeah, I do your games, too, right? What's your favorite game, Christopher, that we've done so far? The beanbag toss? All right, some girls. What do we like at Master Club?
Saying verses.
The verses.
The Bible lesson.
Yeah.
Book time.
I like doing lessons, games, and earning badges.
Yeah, you have a whole bunch of badges, don't you? All over your vest and stuff? Oh, just one so far? Very cool.
I like doing the reading the Bible.
Yeah. Did you have your hand up, or you just, no? Yeah, what do you like?
I forget again.
Oh, you forget. Oh. What do you like about Master Club?
I like games.
Yeah, the games? Do I do your games? Or are you in Mrs. Fury's class, I think, right? Yeah, I bet she does different games. All right, did I miss anybody that really wants to do one more? Did you think of it? You remembered?
I like the treats.
The treats. All right, very cool. All right, so those are some of the things that we do at Master Club. There is the book time. The game time, and then the lesson time where we open God's Word and talk with the kids about things that God would have for them. All right, boys and girls, we're going to stand, and then we'll pray, and then I'm going to walk you guys over to Junior Church, okay? Okay, so standing up nice and tall, just like we stand for Master Club at my game time, right? Straight as soldier. Good job. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that you love boys and girls and that you... they're a priority to you, God. I thank you for the ministries that we have for them. And I pray that you'd be with us today. Help us to have a great day in Junior Church. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. Let's sing 178, The Bible Stands. 178, let's sing it out this morning. The Bible Stands.
Bye.
You may be seated. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to talk about the Bible this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. And I hope and pray that you've been praying about what you can do. Today is the last Sunday you have to get a donation in for Bearing Precious Seed. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't do it again sometime. But as far as this offering is concerned, we want to present a check tonight to Pastor Stone and Bearing Precious Seed. And do 200,000 John and Romans is our goal. So Today's your day to give. Also tonight, don't forget, we'll have our little brown box out there. And if you want to be a blessing to Pastor Stone, write him a note of encouragement, give a little gift, you may do so. We don't look at that. We don't count that. We just open up the box. We just give him the box, and he takes whatever's in there for he and his wife. Encourage his wife, Ruthie, as well. And I know that she'd appreciate some ladies writing her a little note. That would be a blessing. If you're married to Pastor Al Stone, you need encouragement. And so let's make sure we encourage Mrs. Stone as well, all right? So that's tonight. Come, we're going to have a great service. And of course, church fellowship to follow. It's a week earlier this year, or this month. We wanted to have it here while the Stones were here so that they could take part. And you have a little time to visit with them and get caught up with them. Pastor Stone graduated school back here in the 70s from Bethel Baptist Academy. I believe he was the first graduate. And then, of course, from Baptist Bible College Canada, and has been in St. Thomas, Ontario at the Bible Baptist Church now for 25 years. And we praise the Lord for that faithfulness. Hebrews chapter 4. Is anybody warm in here? Anybody? Just me? It's like an easy bake oven up here with all these lights. And then when I get up and wave my arms, I get very warm very quickly. So that's the good thing about not having hair, though. I can just do this and get cooled down. So we're just starting the heating season. So if you are warm, let us know so we can make those adjustments for the future. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's begin reading together in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, I want you to notice the context here as we begin. In chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul is concerned that there are some that perhaps have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but not have entered into the rest that the Lord offers. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." He wants us to rest in him. We were singing this morning, "How Great Thou Art," and I got thinking, you know, two of the greatest things that God gave us that declare his majesty and glory, first of all, his son Jesus Christ, but second of all, it has to be the word of God. How would we know of Jesus Christ apart from the word? And so we are to enter into that rest of Jesus Christ, but we can only do it through daily meditations in the word of God. The Bible says, read again, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." Now, underlining your Bible, "us and them." You'll notice there's a difference between us and the world, or at least there should be. The Bible says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time as it is said, Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, I don't know if you've been counting. I told you in verse 1 to notice the context of the word rest. God desires us to enter into his rest, to rest in him, to rest upon his power, to rest in Jesus Christ. That only comes by mixing the gospel with faith. Believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins and paid the price and was buried and rose again, and that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the rest of the gospel. Now, for 10 verses, he keeps talking about this rest. Now, look at verse 11, he talks about rest, but then verse 12, he says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are thankful for your word today. We're thankful, Lord, that we can have rest in Jesus Christ that comes from resting in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, tonight as we give our offering on this Bearing Precious Seed or Bible Sunday, Lord, to try to get the gospel of John and Romans into homes in Northern Ontario. Father, I pray that we would give sacrificially, that we would do our very best to be honoring unto you in our gift. Father, we pray that you bless these folks in return. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that so many have given so much, that you'd bless them for their giving, for we know that God is a debtor to no man. And Father, as we examine the Word of God today, I pray that you'd help us and strengthen us in the Word. Help us understand the importance of the Word of God. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was blessed this morning when Brother Calvin went around to some of the children and said, "What is your favorite part of Master Clubs?" And many, of course, said the snacks and the games. And we understand that kids that maybe not saved yet, it's just natural for us to be carnal, and that's the things that we enjoy, and so they come for that, and we understand that. And it is our prayer and it is our hope that through coming for games and snacks and treats that they will hear the gospel message and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is also our hope that we would get into their homes and meet their parents and talk to them about the Lord and see them saved as well. But what a blessing when some of the kids said, "My favorite part is the lesson time." I was particularly glad when Christian said that, because Christian's in my class, and you wonder sometimes, am I getting through? And on Wednesday night was a particularly rough night. It's interesting how 3 weeks in a row we can just have a great time, we can gather together, and the kids sit and they listen, but there's always that 1 week, isn't there? And they're climbing the walls, and they're swinging from the curtains, and they're doing all kinds of things, shutting the lights out, and crawling on the tables, under the tables, and we're constantly chasing them around and saying, "Come on, sit down, guys. We want to teach you the Word of God." And so it's such a blessing when you hear a kid say, "I come because I want to hear about Jesus. I like learning about Jesus Christ." I'm always blessed when our kids come home from Camp Yes. We'll say, "Hey, tell us about Camp Yes." And the first thing out of their lips is, "The preaching was amazing." Now, I like to hear that. That's a blessing, you know, because when I went to camp, we played baseball and football and volleyball, and I enjoyed all those things, but I remember thinking, boy, the preaching this week is phenomenal. I remember surrendering at the Bill Rice Ranch under the preaching of Brother Ron Riley. Do you remember him, Brother Wilson? Man, he would just get up and he'd just preach, and he didn't care if you were 10 or 100 years old. He preached the same way and just preached the unadulterated Word of God. And one day I walked down the aisle and surrendered to be in the full-time ministry. Praise the Lord for preaching. And I enjoy when our young people enjoy learning about Jesus. But you know, we wouldn't have any knowledge of Jesus apart from the Word of God. The Bible is the foundation of our life, and the Bible talks about entering into the rest. In verse 2 it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, and as well as unto them." And what Paul is saying to the church at Jerusalem, this Hebrew people, he's saying, listen, he says, "I have rest because the gospel was preached unto me, and I believed it in faith, and now I have rest in Jesus Christ." But there's a whole world out there that's restless. And they're wandering around and they're wondering, what is my future? They have no rest, they have no peace, they have no hope. And Paul summarizes in verse 12 and he says, here's how you'll find rest. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You know, we as a nation are moving away from the Word of God. When I was a child, you might remember when you were a child as well, saying the Lord's Prayer in school. How many of you remember that? How many of you have gone to school and never said the Lord's Prayer in school? If you go to a public school, Colton and some others here have never heard it in the school. We used to have, not only did we have the Lord's Prayer, but our vice principal every day read a portion from the Bible, read something from the book of Psalms every single day. And so for the entire school year, we'd get through the book of Psalms in 150 days. Every day, reading a portion of Psalms. I remember when the law came down, and they said, well, you can no longer pray in school, and you can no longer, and it was kind of in flux at the time, so our vice principal took it upon herself to every day read from a different holy book. It was the Quran one day, it was the Confucius another day, it was the Buddha another day, and every day read something different. Friends, we don't even have any of that anymore. I'm glad we don't have that. But I'm wondering, have we moved away from the foundation of the Word of God? Well, let's be honest. Did we expect that our government and worldly people would stay on the Word of God? My assistant pastor used to remind me all the time, Pastor, the devil is still the devil. And he's still seeking whom he may devour, and he's still seeking to deceive, and he's the Antichrist, and he's against everything that's godly. And he's always going to be the devil. And we've seen our nation follow after him. That's the thing. They say, well, we don't want any religion. We don't want to follow. You're following the devil. Jesus made that clear to the Pharisees when he said, your father's the devil. And so we must be careful as a church, though, that we don't slide. Today, there's so many churches today that are sliding away from the Word of God. It is our foundation. I was looking for some quotes this week, and I thought, let's hear what some people have said about the Bible. I can't read them to you. Because as many good quotes are, there are so many more wicked quotes about the Bible. Calling God names. Just wickedness is prevalent in our earth today. The Bible itself says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner in the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to take a few minutes this morning and tell you about its power, its purpose, and its perfecting. Its power, its purpose, and its perfecting. First of all, we see its power. The Bible says the Word of God is quick. The word quick there, in the outline of its biblical usage, means to live, to breathe. To be among the living, not lifeless and not dead, to enjoy real life, to have true life and worthy of the name, active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God, to live, i.e. to pass life in the manner of the living and acting of morals or character. It is living water, having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. Metaphorically, it means to be in full vigor, to be fresh, strong, efficient. And as an adjective, it means to be active, powerful. That's what the word quick means. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that the Holy Spirit is a quickening agent. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You say, well, what does that mean, inspiration? The word literally means God breathed. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us how God inspired his Bible. It says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that has given us the word. It is the Holy Ghost that gives us life. As Ephesians chapter 2 says, he is a quickening spirit. 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away, but the word of God, the word of the Lord endureth forever. We have a living Bible. Listen, this book is not like any other book you'll find on the shelf. Here's an interesting fact about the Bible. The King James Bible has been the best-selling book in the entire world up to date. Did you know that? Here's a strange fact. It is also the most stolen book in the entire world. Isn't that odd? In other words, people have gone into shops and stolen the King James Bible. I don't understand that. Somebody said one time, I didn't lock my car. I was with a preacher and I forgot to lock my car. And he goes, oh, I think you forgot to lock your car. And I said, that's okay. The only thing in there is a Bible. And if they steal it, they need it. Amen. And they need a Bible. But the King James Bible is alive. It's alive. Not only is it alive, but it gives life. That's what the word quick means. The word quick, one of the definitions I read to you, means having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. No other book will change you like the Word of God. I've read books before that move me. I've read commentaries I enjoy. I don't know, most preachers don't enjoy anymore, but I still enjoy reading Matthew Henry. I enjoy his insight into the Bible, and I'll read some of his commentary often, and I like reading books from Pastor Chappell and different books from Striving Together and books from Crown College, different places that we get our books. I enjoy reading those things, and at times they move me. There's times where as a boy I read fictional books. Hardy Boys and things like that. And I remember getting caught up in a book and staying up under all night under the covers and reading that book because something was happening next. There was something in the mystery that had to be solved, and there's books that have moved me, but there's only one book in this entire world that's ever changed my life. It's the living Word of God. The Bible says that it is quick, but it also says it is powerful. I did a word study on that word, powerful. A lot of times in the Bible, we understand what power means. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, ye shall receive power. That word power is the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. Power. And we think about the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost came upon them, and Peter got up and he preached the word of God, and thousands were saved. Great power came upon the church, and great power came upon the disciples and the believers that were following that day. And those 120 in the upper room were endowed with the Holy Spirit power. But this word powerful in Hebrews 4 verse 12 is not the same word. This word is only used very rarely in Scripture. It is the word energis, where we get our word energy from. And it literally means a quick, a constant and steady, active presence. How many of you have ever blown something up? Mostly it'd be boys that put up their hand, or men now. You ever blow something up? Boy, we tried when we were kids to blow things up. It never ever seemed to work, but every once in a while you get some firecrackers or something, you know, and you'd blow something up. I won't tell you what we blew up. That might just upset you, but we try to blow things up. I mean, that's, I'm sorry to disturb you. That's just what boys do, all right? That's what boys do. But that explosion is quick. You ever seen a building come down? I don't know why it is, but whenever they blow up a building, there's always about 50 men standing around watching. You ever notice that? Ladies aren't interested in that stuff. But men like to stand around and watch that building come down. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they kind of grunt, and they look at each other and grunt and smile. And everybody knows what they're saying to each other. That's just a man thing, you know? But that power, that's what it is. It's the power of that explosion. This word powerful, the Bible is talking about quick and powerful. It's not talking about an explosion. But it's talking about a constant and active energy in your life. I liken it more to that outlet over there. I know that any time I can go over and I can plug something in, and there's always going to be power there, and it's reliable, and I'm thankful that we have reliable electricity in our country, but I always know it's available to me. I always know that it's going to exert the force upon whatever it is I'm plugging in, a toaster. Well, I wouldn't plug a toaster in the church, but you understand what I'm saying? Anything I want to plug in, the power is there, and it's constant, and it's effective. I know that any day I can go to the Word of God, and there's power there. Every day it's reliable. It never changes. Some people say, well, I don't get out of the Bible what I used to get out of the Bible. Hey, the Bible hasn't changed. That's like saying, going over to that electrical thing and say, well, I might as well stick a fork right in there because I'm not going to get the same shock I used to get. Anybody want to volunteer? Man, I'd like to see that. But we have that idea. Wouldn't it be foolish to do something like that? It'd be foolish to go and stick a couple things into a socket and say, well, there's not power like there used to be. Listen, don't blame the Word of God when you think there's no power. The Word of God has never changed. The Bible says in 2 Peter, we already read, it endureth forever. It is powerful. It is constant. It is active in our life. Here's what that tells me. The day I got saved, I was supposed to change. Amen? Somebody say amen. I hope you changed when you got saved. But you know that every time we read the Bible, we're supposed to keep changing? The Bible talks about looking into a glass, and we're changed into the same image from time to time. We are constantly growing. We are constantly being changed and made over in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Every day, it's an act of power and presence in your life. My very first day of school, I remember this like it was yesterday. I don't know why. It was 1977. It was probably around September 3rd, September 4th. I was 5 years old. I don't know if my mom's in here or not. She might remember it as well. I got up at 3 in the morning. Do you remember that? I was so excited about the first day of school. Not so much the second day. But the first day was still a mystery. I got up at 3 in the morning. I got some toaster waffles out, I can't remember what it was, and I put it in the toaster, and I sat there and I stared at the toaster for an hour. Finally, my mom came on, she goes, what are you doing? It's 3 in the morning. I said, well, I'm getting ready for school. You got to get them getting ready for school. I was so excited about school. She says, you got to plug it in. I sat there staring at a toaster for an hour. Wasn't plugged in. Finally, she says, go back to bed. Your breakfast will be ready when you get up. That was the last time she ever made breakfast for me, too. But you know, friends, we want the power of God in our lives. We got to get plugged in. You got to get plugged in. Get into the Word of God. For the Bible says it is quick and it is powerful. Look what else also says. It is sharper. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, sharper, obviously, is a comparative. It means it's sharper than something else. And the Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. In other words, a single slice rather than repeated hacks. You'd be surprised to know that a Bible dictionary said that. It means it cuts with a single slice. It's more of a scalpel than a hacksaw. So often, people don't want to get saved because they're afraid of losing so much. And they're afraid, well, it's going to hurt. No, it's a surgeon's scalpel that comes in and takes out what we do not need. I'm here to tell you that if I find out I have a cancerous tumor, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the surgeon's scalpel. For it cuts out that which what hurts me in my life. And the Bible says that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing. And so, listen, let me ask you this. Do you feel the power of God's word in your life? Are there times where you feel his scalpel come in and say, I need to cut that out. Oh, it hurts. Here's the problem. Many of us don't feel it. We're not under conviction anymore. I remember one time going out to a preaching meeting. About 15 years ago, Garland Line Baptist Church, Pastor Tom Gilliam was preaching. Pastor Bauckham was sitting right in the front row, and I was right behind him. The preacher got up and he read the scripture. He hadn't even started preaching yet. He started reading the scripture. And it was one of them meetings where you knew the Holy Spirit was there right away. And he read that scripture. And Brother Bauckham and I felt like we needed to crawl under the pew. He brought out a white hanky and said, I surrender. The Spirit of God came down in that place and people started walking up the aisles and going to the altars. The preacher said, I haven't even preached yet. All he had done was read the scripture, but it began to deal with hearts. Has God stirred you like that? Do you have a holy Bible, or do you have a holy Bible that you put holes in because you say, I don't believe in that. I don't want to follow that, and I don't agree with that. We were talking this morning, Brother Baker and Brother McPherson and I. There's so many atheists out there that say, I don't believe in the Bible, but it's even more dangerous when somebody says, I believe the Bible, but I also believe in evolution. I believe in God, and I believe I'm a Christian, but I don't believe homosexuality is a sin. I believe in God, and I'm a Christian, and I believe in Christ, but I'm okay with abortion. Boy, that's dangerous. You've cut things out of your Bible. You don't have a respect for it. Don't pierce your Bible. Let it pierce you. Don't take a sword to the Bible. Let the Bible be the sword in your life and correct our ways. The power of the Bible, we see it in the words quick and powerful and sharper, but I want you to also see its purpose. The Bible says that that sword is to come along, and look what it says in verse 12, right in the middle, piercing. Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, the Word of God's purpose is to pierce your life. That word piercing just means to penetrate, to get in deep. The author wanted us to understand that because he said, when I'm talking about piercing, when I'm talking about, he said, I mean, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I would have guessed 2,000 years ago, they wouldn't even know what marrow is. How many doctors were there that did surgery back then and could cut out, I suppose, from an animal, cutting open the bones and seeing what was inside? But they're talking about things. Boy, the Bible's way ahead of science. I hope you understand that. Job talks about how the earth was a ball suspended. Everybody else thought it was a flat earth. The Bible talks about the circle of the earth. The Bible talks about how the life is in the blood. On and on we could go about the scientific advancements of the Bible. Listen, the Bible talks about science falsely so-called. That's anything against the Word of God. But the Bible says it is piercing it to penetrate our lives. Listen, don't be discouraged when the Word of God steps on your toes. I don't like that preacher. When he preaches, I feel like my toes get stuck. Hey, praise God for it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I can't make you feel guilty about anything. Do you understand that? I can't do that. I can't. You are your own person. Only the Holy Spirit can divide between soul and spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can get down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. So many times we say, well, don't judge me. You don't know my motives. Oh, the Holy Spirit does. The Word of God does. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And they are revealed when we get into the Word of God. Lord, we don't get mad at the Bible. Let it penetrate your heart. Let it penetrate. The purpose of God's Word is never just a surface transformation. This is not about, it's supposed to reform your life completely. Give yourself over to the Word. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, for this is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. There's only one way to renew your mind, friend. Put good things in it. The Bible. The Bible. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6, I'm going to turn there. Acts chapter 6 is an interesting scripture. I want you to read it. Turn there with me, Acts chapter 6. Brother Wolfgang, are you in here? Next week, put the heat 2 degrees cooler. Acts chapter 6. In verse 5. Now, in Acts chapter 6, we have the appointment of the first deacons. The multitude of the disciples said unto them, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I'm in verse 4 now. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now look what it says. And the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, when the Bible says the Word of God increased, does that mean that they wrote more Scripture? No. It meant they had more people preaching it. And more people were getting saved. And then more people were preaching it. And then more people were getting saved. And the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem. The Word of God was spreading like wildfire. And it was growing. You know why? Because it's alive. Because it's powerful. Because it's quick. And because it penetrates the heart. The Word of God was increasing because it was changing lives. Let me ask this. Since Jesus came into your life and the Word of God has come into your heart, what has increased? What has grown? What is the presence in your community, in your neighborhood, among your neighbors, in your workplace? Has the Word of God increased? That's a natural path for a living thing. I remember when we started having children. And I remember going to work and pulling out pictures, taking out my wallet and saying, oh, look at here. Here's baby Brennan, here's baby Emily and Bethany and Austin and all the rest. You know, showing pictures and hoping they don't spit their coffee across the table, you know, and there you go. And you're so excited about those things. Look what I have. Look at this. And you're showing, and look, girls, when you get engaged, what do? You show that ring to everybody. You're so proud of somebody coming into your life. How did you behave when Jesus came into your life? When the Word of God took hold? Let it penetrate your heart. Because once it penetrates your heart, it's natural for the Word of God to increase. Those 7 men were full of the Holy Ghost and of a good report, and they went forth preaching the Word of God because it had pierced them. And the Bible says not only did it pierce them, but in Hebrews 4, it talks about to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Word of God will always feed the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? As you read the Bible, it feeds that Spirit. But it'll also rebuke your soul. So it's dividing the two. It's taking the Spirit of God. When you read the Bible, it takes the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God goes, oh, I like that. Oh, that's good. Tell me more about Jesus. And the Spirit is growing. That's the living part where the Holy Spirit has come in and quickened you and made you alive. But that old flesh, the soul, that personality that's holding on to sin, he's over here and he's getting rebuked. Now what's going to happen? Either the soul's going to get right and start living right, or the Spirit's going to be grieved and vexed and hurt. Get into the Word of God and let it affect your soul. That's what the Scripture is meaning here. When he pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, he's saying he's going to show you your misgivings. He's going to show you where your soul is not lining up with your spirit. Not lining up with that God part. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if we've ever perfectly lined up with the God part of us. With this quickened spirit that Jesus Christ is indwelling within us and the Holy Spirit filling us. I don't know if we've ever, but one day we will be. But you know, that doesn't give us any excuse. We are to strive to be like Christ. So the Word of God does that work. Then it says, of the joints and the marrow. That's the very deepest part of your being. If your soul or your personality is given to anger, it will be revealed by the Word as your spirit is fed and your soul is rebuked. The sword will humble a prideful spirit. It will cut and divide a rebellious heart to make it meek and obedient. It's working to get to the deepest part of our lives. Let me ask, are you struggling to conquer sin? Get in the Word. But more importantly, let the Word get into you. Psalm 119 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." John 15, verse 7 says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So many say, "Preacher, I don't know if God is answering my prayers. I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to live in the Word. Is the Word abiding in you?" Hey, it's one thing to get into the Word of God, but let Him get into you. Let the Word into you. And see how He will change you. Paul said regarding the church that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Why? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. By the way, you are the church. The called out assembly, God wants to wash you with His Word. And then the Bible says it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, the Word of God judges. Somebody said, "Well, don't you judge me?" I don't have to judge you. The Word of God judges you. The Word of God judges you. I was in Bible college years ago, and I was talking with a roommate, and another roommate was there, and he was saying, "Oh, this great church over on the other side of town." He says, they are just on the cusp of the leading edge. He says, they got two or three ladies there that they let preach regularly. And they understand that the King James Bible is archaic. And so they're going to the NIV and they're changing all these things. And he started talking about all these things. And my roommate said to him, "Oh man," he said, "I don't know." And I was with him. I'm like, "Man, what are you thinking? Why would you want to be a part of that?" And he looked at my roommate and he looked at me and he says, "You guys just judge too much." My roommate wisely answered and said this. He said, "Sin has already been judged." He says, "Read the Bible, you'll find out." Oh, what a great answer. Listen, I don't know the morals and intents of your heart. I can't go home and say, "Well, that guy said this because here's what he's really thinking." Isn't that what we do? We like to interpret everything. You can go up and you can say, some people you can walk up to and say, "And have a nice day," and they're going home. What do you say mean by that? "Well, he meant have a nice day." "I don't think he did. That guy's out to get me." And we start judging their heart and judging their intent. You don't need me to do that. The Word of God does that. Get into the Bible. Let it straighten out your heart. He wants to get to the joints and the marrow. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He will divide asunder soul and spirit. That's the purpose of the Word of God. And then I want to talk about its perfecting just for a moment. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you know a paranoid person like that? You can wish them Merry Christmas and they think that you've just told them something nasty. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read with me in verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, all you wives here today understand what a perfect man is, don't you? The word perfect means to be complete. And then he describes it by saying, truly furnished. Not thoroughly, truly. Truly furnished, all the way through. God wants to complete you. He wants to perfect you. He wants to make you furnished for service unto all good works. That's what the Word of God is. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and he lists four different things, but he says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God wants to perfect your life. The Word of God is there not just to save you, but to perfect you, to make you fit for service. Now, this may sound strange, but the purpose of the local church, I believe that God's church was established first and foremost to bring glory to God. I believe that. All my heart. A gathering of God's saints to give him praise. Unto him be glory in the church, the Bible says. Secondly, I believe the church was established as a place for fellowship and encouragement for the saints. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves because we are exhorting one another. It's an encouragement for those. We had a dear lady in our church in Hamilton. She was 95 years old, Mrs. Stacy Anzanoff. And she was independent, let me tell you. She was stubborn? She was stubborn. 95 years old, and we'd have ice all over the road, you know, and the folks that went to get her, they were in their 80s, and they'd go around to the door, and they'd say, and they'd put their hand out to get her out of the van because the parking lot's got some ice, you know. And she says, well, I don't need help. I don't need help. And Mrs. McKenzie would say, she'd look at her and she goes, oh, I need some help today. Oh, okay, then I'll help you. And so they'd take arms and they'd walk into church. But she was helping you, it's fine. She was 95 years old, and we went over to her house one day, and she wanted to give some pears to some of the ladies at the ladies' prayer meeting. She climbed to the top rung of a ladder, stood on the top of the ladder. You're not supposed to do that if you're 30 years old. And she stood there and picked pears. I said to one of the ladies, how was your ladies' prayer today? She says, it was awful. I thought she was going to die. But every time she came into the church house, everybody looked around and said, oh, Ms. Anzanoff's here. Well, I tell you what, that rebuked you. If you would skip for anything. Well, I had a little sniffle this morning, so I didn't come to church, preacher. Oh, yeah, Ms. Anzanoff was here. She's 95 with pneumonia. What do you think of that? You know? Boy, faithfulness. Boy, that encourages others. Be in your place. That's an encouragement. I read a statistic this week, and it really bothered me. 200 people, if a church is averaging 200 people in attendance, and 50% of the church says, I'm going to go to three Sunday mornings instead of four. In other words, they got a family reunion one Sunday a month. They've got something else one Sunday a month. They just take the day off to go and spend with their family one day a month, whatever. Do you know your average attendance drops from 200 to 175? Just by half the church being non-committed? Think about that. And the habit is when we do that, we don't always give our tithe on that Sunday we miss. We don't have an opportunity to be in our Sunday school class, so the other folks are scrambling to cover your responsibilities. Boy, get into church and encourage some people. Don't discourage. If your attendance encourages, your absence discourages. Think about that. The Word of God is to perfect us, to make us able to serve God. Thirdly, the church is a place for training of the saints. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled when somebody comes to church and gets saved. But that is not the primary purpose for a church service. The purpose is for church service to bring glory to God, to equip and edify the saints, and to encourage and fellowship with one another. This is a training ground because the Bible says, go ye therefore. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit was to come and they were to go out into the world and preach. That is our responsibility. We think, well, let's just get them to church and somebody will lead them to the Lord. Let's take the gospel and go. You're here to be trained in the word that you might be effective witnesses. That's what our purpose is. I was so thrilled. A few weeks ago, Caesar brought his wife over to my house. English is not his first language. And he says, I want you to tell her in English. And she got saved at my house in English. Listen, you don't have to be in the church house to get saved. You need the Word of God to get saved. The Holy Spirit does the work. This is a training ground. Let me encourage you, if I can just change one thought in your mind today, don't depend upon Bethel Baptist Church to lead your family to Christ, lead your friends to Christ. You go lead them to Christ. You tell them about Jesus. If we get a chance to help, praise the Lord. But we need to take responsibility. The Word of God is to perfect you, to train you, that you may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What's the best works? Do you remember Jesus said you'll do greater works than these? Greater works than Jesus? I believe what he's saying is you'll have the opportunity to go in the Holy Spirit of God and preach the gospel to a lost and dying people that they might be saved. We just heard a week ago, there's a memorial service this Wednesday night of Mr. Jerry, what's his last name, Mr. Cameron again? It wasn't your friend, it was Jim's friend, I'm sorry. Brother Pastor McDonald. McGlashan. Oh, Jim's here. I didn't see him. McGlashan. I'm so thankful that 3 weeks ago he got saved, 3 weeks before he died. That didn't happen in the church house. Nobody said, Pastor, can we bring this guy to church so that he can get saved in the service? No, instead, we had a couple people that said, you know what? We've been trained. The Word of God has worked in our lives. Let's go tell him about Jesus. And he got saved. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning. Is the Word of God perfecting your life? It's powerful. Its purpose is to be a sword that cuts through and changes us and makes us more like Jesus Christ, that it might perfect us to go out into a lost and dying world and tell them of Jesus Christ. Is it perfecting in your life? You say, well, Pastor, I've grown a lot. I don't know if I'm ready to. That's okay. Keep growing. Keep growing in grace. Keep learning the Word. Let it change your heart. Be open to it. Be receptive to it. Listen to it. Some people, we have to learn the hard way, don't we? If you just listen to the Word of God, you wouldn't have to learn the hard way. The Bible says He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And you can have it all in the Word. I was reading a quote this morning from Ronald Reagan. I know he's American, but he says, every problem of life is solved in the Word of God. Every problem of life is solved in the Word of God. That's how he ran a country. We could run our lives like that, couldn't we? Just trusting in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, getting hooked into the power of the Word of God. It's a steady, constant. Listen, you say, I can do this in the flesh. Your flesh is weak. You say, I can deal with this grief my own way. No, you can't. Our personalities are up and down like a roller coaster. Our souls are just like ebbing, waning, and the flow like a tide going in and out. But the Word of God is constant. It's an energy in our life. You can trust it. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation this morning. I want you to take a moment, and whether you pray at this altar or pray in your seats, would you give thanks today for the Word of God? And secondly, would you do this? Would you ask God to make you sensitive to His Holy Spirit that you might listen to the Word of God? I believe we can become hardened and calloused against God's Word, and we don't listen to what God is speaking to us. But if we would just listen, we'd be far better off. Psalm chapter 1, I'm just going to read very quickly to you. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. Who are the ungodly? They're the ones that don't listen to the Word of God. The law of the Lord is the Word of God, and we're to meditate there and day and night, and we'll be like a tree planted by the water, and we'll prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Are you listening to the Word of God today? Does it abide in you? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Baker's going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, would you take a moment and pray? Would you take a moment and pray? Give thanks to the Lord and ask Him to help you to be obedient and listen to the Word of God.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to ask Pastor McDonald to come and close our service with some announcements this morning. And as he comes, don't forget tonight, we got a great service plan. You'll want to be here just to catch up with the Stones and encourage them in some way. And let's get our offerings together and let's do our very best to honor the Lord tonight.
Amen. As the pastor said, it will be a good time. I encourage you to come out tonight. It'll be a real blessing. We're having fellowship afterwards. The theme is pumpkin and apple. And when you throw sugar on that, it just becomes perfect. So come on out tonight. We'll have a great time around the Word of God in that. I was talking to Brother John Coburn this morning, and he wanted me to give you a little bit of an update on their daughter, Laylee Rose. And she's 6 months old now, and about a couple years or a couple weeks into her life, a doctor said to her that she has a failure to thrive. And of course, prayer and the power of God is an amazing thing. She now is about the size of a 1-year-old. She's only 6 months old, but this is someone who had a failure to thrive. But he's also asked that we would continue to pray for her. She has tests on Tuesday for the lower stomach and the upper bowel region. So if you would pray for Laylee Rose Coburn and ask that God would continue to bless that young girl. And it's great when God does these great miracles and we can see them right before our eyes. Just before we let you go, I just want to remind you that library is open. And let me explain something to you. We have put together and combined the libraries. I've been talking about this for a couple months now. But today it's open to folks who are, you know, maybe a church member. We just want somebody to sign them out. We want somebody right now at this time of 16 years of age and over until we get our system together. I just want to get you to register. I'm going to go right down there right now in the library. And I encourage you to go down through the double doors in the hallway there and check out our library. We are promoting certain books. I'm trying to get things that are biblical based. And we got some excellent things we've been promoting. Of course, Paul Chappell's Understanding the Times, Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. Let me tell you something. We need to be on fire for God, and to do that, we need to know what's going on scripturally, with scriptural eyes. We've got some good authors. We've got, of course, our own writer right here for young children's books. We've got Sarah Wiedrich. This is her second book, Benji and the Butterfly. We got the first one in the library, too. That's for a younger group. We've got for ladies, It's a Wonderful Life, written by Terry Chappell, Serving God Joyfully. So we got these books here. We got for ladies, for men, for everybody. And my favorites are Dinosaurs by Dinosaurs by Design by Dr. Dwayne Gish. He's got a PhD degree. Folks, listen. He's got a PhD degree, okay, secular university. He's a creationist. He believes God created about 6,000 years ago in 6 literal days. And here's a good, fully illustrated book for young people. It's about dinosaurs from a Bible perspective. They're out there. You're not going to find these books in most libraries. They do not want them. They're not welcome there. But they're going to be a resource. I want you people and I want myself to get into these books and get knowing the glories of what God has given us in the Bible. And these books will help bring that out. So I encourage you, come on down. I'll be down there. If you want to sign something out, just register. That's all we need to know is your name and number, and we're ready to go. And so we'll close in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you for the service we've had, for the preaching, Lord, how strong and how firm your word is. And we can build our lives upon it. It's a solid foundation. And Lord, we also thank you for Jesus Christ, who came and died for us and gave us that opportunity to be saved, Not only can we read about it in the Bible, we can experience in our own souls. We can have the Holy Spirit's presence. And Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you for the organization that Jesus has built and left for us, that we can grow thereby. And Father, I ask that you bless us as we continue to get into your word. We want to live it before you, Lord. We ask for your power to do so. Give us safety on the roads as we dismiss now and return us safely back tonight to praise you again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.